All right, folks, what I'd like you to do is I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 88. Psalm 88. We're going to continue on with the series that we've been doing about Is He Listening? Coping with God's silence in our lives. And we've looked for several weeks now at different things about that, what might cause it, where we are with it. I want to talk today about one more thing, and then we're going to wrap it up next week. But what I want to talk about today is what we tend to do when we sense God's silence in our lives. What we tend to do is we tend to give up praying. You know that? Only makes sense, right? If I keep sending you emails and I'm trying to get you to respond to me and I keep leaving voicemails, I even come to your house and knock on your door, but you're not answering. At some point, I'm going to get the picture, the conclusion in my mind that you don't want to talk to me. And so then I just give up. That's our natural tendency, right? Like, why am I wasting my time here? I mean, I'm sending him emails. I'm sending him text messages. I'm leaving voicemails. I put a note. I saw your car at Walmart. I stuck a note on there. Contact me. You're not doing anything. I'm even chasing after you with my full cart at Walmart because I know you are. You're seeing, but you're like hightailing it out of there. You know what I'm saying? And then at some point, you kind of clue in like, okay, maybe I need to just give up on this, right? That's how we are as human beings, but let's just be honest, that's how we are as believers too. I mean, we're continually going to Him and we're bearing our souls to Him because maybe we're praying for a loved one who's sick. Maybe we're sick. Maybe we're praying about a situation at work, or maybe we're concerned about something that we see in the community and we're like, God, why aren't you responding? Why aren't you intervening in this situation, in this relationship, in that situation? Why is it that I can't hear? Why am I not hearing from you? And then after a while, you just kind of give up. It might be something as simple as you've been praying for years, for some of us, decades, for somebody to come to know Jesus, and they're not changing. So you give up. What I want to talk to you about today is we're going to go to another lament, another heart cry from someone, but we're going to see from the writer now. It's not David, it's the sons of Korah, who were a choir. They sang in the temple. It's going to express their desperation for God to do something. But what we notice from them is that they're not giving up praying. And what I want to talk to you about is, okay, as we're talking about the silence issue and the prayer issue, is that God may be silent, and let's be honest with you folks, He may be silent for decades about an issue. And I'll be honest with you, I have people that I've been praying for decades, and God has just been silent. You don't give up. You don't give up on the issue that you're struggling with. You keep praying. And that's what we're going to see here today. So I want you to notice with me, we're in Psalm 88. We're going to look at verses 1 to 18. Here's what the writer writes from the sons of Korah. O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am a man who has no strength, like one set loose among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those who remember, whom you remember no more. For for they are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in regions of dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves, Selah. You have caused my companions to shun me. They made me a horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eyes grow dim through sorrow. Every day I call on you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the departed rise up to praise you, Selah? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in Abaddon? Are your wonders known in darkness, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry to you. In the morning my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? Afflicted and close up to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I am helpless. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. They close in on me together. You have caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My companions have become darkness. Wow. By the way, that is the saddest psalm in the Bible. That's the distinction about that. It's pretty bad, isn't it? But from this psalm, I want to tell you and I want to tell me, don't give up. Don't give up praying. Don't give up going to him and bearing your soul, bringing him your pain. Don't give up. What do you mean, George? Well, let's take a look at this. I'm going to divide it into three sections. First of all, we're going to look at verses 1 to 9. We're going to see the painful struggle, okay? The painful struggle. I want you to notice with me verses 1 and 2. Look at what he says here in God's word. He says this, O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. First thing I want you to notice is, you pray every day hoping that God hears you. You pray every day. Some folks, gotta be honest with you, it's not just every day. Sometimes it's like every hour or every incident. Do you know what I'm saying? Like if you're dealing with a situation, every time the incident comes up, you're like, oh, Lord, I need you. I can't deal with this. You're just expressing yourself. It doesn't have to be, can I be honest with you? Sometimes we think of prayer as being formal. I get on my knees by my bed. I'm not talking about that. Prayer is so many things. Prayer could be riding along in your car. And all of a sudden it just happens. You get hit. And maybe it's a phone call or something. And you're like, oh, God, and you just are bearing out your soul before him. That's part of this painful struggle. You pray every day hoping that God answers you. Why else would we pray then? At that moment, when you're bearing your soul in pain, it's not some kind of empty religious exercise, right? It is you expressing what's going on inside of you. And what's going on inside of you is I can't deal with this. I don't have the answers. But you, God, are the one who does. And I'm hoping that you'll hear me. And so you go to him and you cry out. I need you. I need you. Here's the second thing I want you to see. Look with me at verse 3 to 5. Again, his painful struggle here. Look at what he says here. He says, You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Excuse me, I'm reading Psalm 85. Let me back up here. Go forward. Here it is. For my soul is full of troubles, and my soul draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I'm a man who has no strength. Like one set loose among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more. They are cut off from your hand. Here's what I want you to say. You feel completely abandoned, and you believe the end is approaching. You been there? Have you been there? I've been there. Wish I could say it was just one experience. I was hoping it would just be one experience. But as the longer I live, I realize, no, that's just the way of life, isn't it? That there are so many times, so many things happen, so many difficulties, so many struggles. I just feel abandoned. And I feel like the writer here in Psalms, like I'm ready for the grave. That's what he talks about, Sheol and the pit. He's thinking like the end is near. It's all collapsing around me. My world, as I was hoping it would be, is no longer there. My dreams are crushed. And I can't change them. There is that desperation of feeling abandoned. You and I know what that is, right? That's why we pray, because we need it. It's like, God, you're the only one that could do this. But then there is silence. I'd like to think that I could handle anything. Are you like this? I like to think that as I get older, I'm getting tougher. In ministry, I've been in ministry over 30 years now. I can tell you that pastoring, compared to when I first started to where I'm at now, I've kind of developed the hide of a rhinoceros, to be honest with you. You have to with life. Isn't that true? With all of us, we have to develop a hide. But I'll be honest with you, that's not true. That's not true, because I can't handle everything. And what I can't handle, can I be honest with you? The biggest thing for my life that I cannot handle is silence. Not knowing what he wants or what he's going to do. And that is so unnerving to me. That is so unnerving to me. So I can relate to him. I think we can relate to him. There's one more thing I want you to see here. Look with me, verse 6 to 9. This is where he's at, and I think I've been there. Look at verse 6 to 9. Here's what he says. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy on me. You overwhelm me with all your waves. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eyes grow dim through sorrow. Here's what I want you to see. You feel that God is adding to your suffering. It happens. You're going to him and you're bearing it at him. And like, I can't take any more, Lord. I need you to do something. And there's silence. And then you're looking at the situation you're in, and it feels like more stuff is happening. More stuff is pouring in on your life. One more factor happens, one more addition, one more thing. And like, oh, I can't take this. And then you just come to this conclusion, God, you're doing this to me. I'm expecting relief from you. I'm expecting you to answer. I'm expecting you to kick me out of this. And I feel like you're just throwing me more into the pit. That's the painful struggle for us. Let me just stop before we go on and talk about what we do about this from the psalm. This is not abnormal. When you come to periods like this, and you will, if you are walking with Jesus, and I mean it, if you are walking with him, you're going to find yourself in situations like what the psalmist is saying here, where it just seems like the world is collapsing around you, you are praying, and you have silence. And you don't know how. In fact, you get to the point where you become cynical, and you just think, like, God, you are toying with me. You are adding to me. I'm asking you to stop, and you're not. And you're just sitting there, and you're like, oh. Here's what I want you to understand. Why do you think it's recorded in the scripture? Why do you think this is in the Bible? Why do you think God gave us this raw emotion from this writer? Because what I want you to understand is that whatever you're going through, you're not the only one. And it's not abnormal. It's not abnormal. Because we're desperate. And we need him. We need him. So I want you to notice with me, persistent prayer. We're going to see this in verses 9 through 12. Persistent prayer. Look with me at verse 9. Here's what he says after verse 9, after expressing his grief and even to the point of thinking that God is adding to him his problems. Even if you look at verse 8, just real quickly, go back. He's like, God, you're causing my friends to get away from me. Here's what he does in persistent prayer. Here's what I want you to notice. Verse 9, second part. Every day I call upon you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Here's what I want you to see. Here's the point. There is a daily commitment to present the issue to God. Every day I'm coming to you in prayer, Lord, and I spread out my hands. Now, what does that mean, spread out my hands? That means, Lord, I'm here. Mercy. I need your grace. I need relief. You know, sometimes we raise our hands and worship, you know, okay? Here it's talking about raising your hands as in, I need something from you, please. It's a sign of begging. Actually, can I say that? He's made that commitment to go and pray. Pray. Even in spite of all the pain. He's going to keep going. Sometimes, folks, can I be honest with you? When you're going through it, you want to give up. And some of you have given up. Some of you are like, I've tried that. I've talked to him. He's not doing anything. And you've given up. You've given up. So like there's something wrong with God. But there isn't. And I'll talk about that in a moment. Here's the second thing I want you to see. There is a belief that God will respond in a way that brings him glory. Look at verses 10 through 11. Even in spite of that, he's making a point here. Listen to the point first and I'll help you to understand. He says this, verse 10. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the departed rise up to praise you? Selah. Selah is the Old Testament word, think about it, okay? Think about what he just said. What are we thinking about here? Well, does God do amazing, wonderful things for dead people? No, it's for the living. Does he what? Do the dead people rise up to praise him? No, it's living people who rise up and praise him because of what God is doing. He's saying here that he is what? Focused on the reality that God's going to bring himself glory when he prays. Even though it's silent right now, that ultimately, God, you're going to bring glory to yourself. Look, let's go on here. Look with me, verse 11. Is your steadfast love declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in Abaddon? Are your wonders known in darkness and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? No, it's a trust that God's going to do something. He keeps trusting that God's going to do something. So he's what? He's persistent. I was trying to think of an illustration that kind of brings it all together for us up to this point. So my mind went to the Gospel of Luke. I added this in this morning as I was thinking through this sermon. In the 18th chapter of Luke, verses 1 to 8, he tells a parable of a widow. Maybe you'll remember it when I read it for you. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought not, And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Don't quit. Okay, here's the parable. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God or respected man. There was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? You know why I brought that up is that last question. That last question is when Jesus comes, will he find faith? What? Faith. Because even though I keep praying and I don't hear, I still trust him. I trust him for my loved ones who don't know him. I trust him to make things right. I trust him to bring me through the circumstances. Even though there's silence, I keep praying. I'm like the widow who keeps going, Lord, please do something. For some of us, we've just given up on faith, right? We've given up trusting him. Trust him. Trust that what he will do will be for his glory in your life. Because sometimes what he will do may not necessarily be the five things you told him to do, but it got you through it. You're going to trust him. So be persistent. Keep praying. Keep talking to him. Don't give up. Here's the other thing I want you to see here, okay? It's the last section. It's the whole issue of faith. This is what it boils down to, is faith. Isn't that what Jesus said, when he comes, will he find faith? This is the issue, faith. So I want you to notice with me those last few verses there, verses 13 through 18. Let's first of all, let's focus on verse 13. Here's what I want you to see. Verse 13, if I go back to the Psalms, and I lost my place. Come on, George, you should have more markers. Okay, here we go, verse 13. But I, O Lord, cry to you. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Here's the point I want to make to you. Your faith is demonstrated through persistent prayers. You want to know if you have faith? Then do you keep going and talking with him about it? If you're not, you don't have faith. If you're talking to him about it and you're bearing your soul before him continually, even though there's silence, you have faith. Why? You have faith that he hears you. You have faith that he trusts you. You have faith that he will do something. Otherwise, if you didn't, you wouldn't go. And for some of us, we don't have the faith anymore. I hate to say it. Can I be honest with you? I mean, I hate to say it, but I will. You know, when you pastor somewhere 30 years, and I've been in our church 24 years, I've seen a lot of people come and go here. A lot of people come and go. And sometimes they leave, and I don't know why they left until I find out later. It's because they gave up on God. because they came expecting him to do something, and when he didn't do it, when he didn't respond, they walked away. You say, really, would people do that? You better believe it. Well, they're human. We do that kind of thing with each other all the time. And somehow it is because we communicate that God responds immediately rather than waiting for him to respond. You know, because we're the McDonald's drive-through generation, right? Some of us are here old enough to remember when McDonald's didn't have a drive-through. Okay? You mean they didn't have a drive-through? Yeah, there was a time when they didn't, okay? And when it came, we got used to it. So now when they tell you, pull over to number 3 and we'll bring it out to you, we're like, what? Are you kidding me? I got to wait for that? And we're like that with God now. It's like, God, I've been praying. I'm telling you, why didn't you take care of us? Okay, it's been a week. That's too long. Sometimes our faith isn't in the right concept of God. Sometimes we need to have faith in the reality of who he really is. Think about that one. So here's what I want you to see. Okay, so we talked about your faith is demonstrated through persistent prayer. Look with me at verse 14. He says this. O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? Faith enables you to explore the reasons behind God's silence. Remember I told you a few messages ago that sometimes the silence is because maybe it's me, maybe it's you. So when there's silence, what faith does is faith goes and says, wait a minute, hold on now. Why didn't you answer that, Lord? That was in your will. I mean, your word says, if it's in your will, in your name, you will answer it. So why didn't you? So you explore it in faith. Like, and sometimes when you do that, maybe it brings up an issue in your life that needs to be addressed or brings up some other thing. But faith acts on that. That's what the writer is saying here. He's like, Lord, why did you cast my soul away? Why are you not listening? Why do I feel abandoned? Faith causes you to explore maybe what it is. And here's the final thing. Verses 15 through 18, I just think this is interesting because it's like, man, what a way to close this. I thought we're going to close it with, God did it. Look at what verse 15 through 18. Afflicted and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors, I am helpless. Your wrath has swept over me, your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all the day long, they close in on me together. You have caused my beloved and my friend to shun me, my companions have become darkness. Whoa, what is going on here? Here's what I want you to see. Faith inspires you to continually present your needs to God. What's he doing here? He's bearing his pain. He's bearing his pain. He doesn't stop going and bearing his pain. He doesn't stop. He goes. Why? Because he believes God is hearing him. So he goes and he says, Lord, it's the same old thing. I need you. I can't handle this. Mercy? You say, okay, George, what do we do with this? Where do we go with this? Well, if you walk away with one thing today, I want you to walk away with this. Don't give up praying. Don't give up praying. Well, you don't understand, George. I've been praying about this for so long, I don't hear anything. Don't give up praying. Silence does not mean he has not heard you. Did you hear me? I've said this several times already over the last few weeks. Silence does not mean he has not heard you. So you keep praying. In fact, Jesus wants us to be like what? The persistent widow who keeps going. You know, it's interesting. You know what the old timers used to say? When I first got saved, I heard people, they would say to me, have you prayed it through? Have you ever heard statements like that? Have you prayed it through? Have you noticed we don't talk about that anymore? We never say anything like that. What do you mean prayed it through? It means you prayed it through to God. You kept being persistent and going to Him and praying about that issue until you felt like you made it through with your issue and God gave you the assurance and the peace. Why don't we talk about it anymore? Because we've given up too soon. Don't give up. Silence is not that he's ignoring you. He hears. But keep going. Keep praying. Let me pray for you and for myself.